Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We are thankful and appreciative of your tuning in. We hope that you'll listen to the duration of the program and to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say in the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address that's given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Shortly after World War II came to a close, Europe began picking up the pieces. Much of the old country had been ravaged by war and was in ruins. Perhaps the saddest sight of all was that of little orphan children starving in the streets of those war-torn cities. Early one chilly morning, an American soldier was making his way back to the barracks in London. As he turned a corner in his jeep, he spotted a little lad with his nose pressed to the window of a pastry shop. Inside, the cook was kneading dough for a fresh batch of doughnuts. The hungry boy stared in silence, watching every move. And the soldier pulled his jeep to the curb. He stopped, he got out, and he walked quietly over to where the little fellow was standing. Through the steamed-up window, he could see the mouth-watering morsels as they were being pulled from the oven, piping hot. The boy salivated and released a slight groan as he watched the cook place them into that glass-enclosed counter ever so carefully. The soldier's heart went out to that nameless orphan as he stood beside him. "Son, would you like some of them?" The boy was startled. "Oh, yeah, I would." The American stepped inside and bought a dozen, put them in a bag, and walked back to where the lad was standing in the foggy cold of that London morning. He smiled, and he held out the bag and said simply, "Here you are." As he turned to walk away, he felt a tug on his coat. He looked back and heard the child ask quietly, "Mister, are you God?" I told that story once in a sermon, and afterward a man came up to me and said, "I was there. I saw much of what you described in that story. I once saw those kids behind fences begging for ice cream as we came out of the ice cream shop. And I saw one soldier become angry. He threw his ice cream and it splattered all over the fence. And the last sight I remember was the sight of children licking the fence." You know, in an often cold and heartless world, we have tremendous opportunity to show people the great God that we serve. Jesus has called us to shake and shine. And we see that when he tells us to be salt and light to the world. His call says something about the world as he saw it. The world needs salt because it's corrupt, and it needs light because it's dark. You know, ironically, the very ones who are often despised and rejected by the world are its only hope. Jesus said, "You are salt of the earth." Matthew 5, verse 13. "You are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. And then he said, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. And you know, in driving home this point, Jesus chose two common household items. Every home has salt and light. You know, people were well aware of the immense value of both of those. There were times in the past that homes did not have freezers for preserving meat. So to keep the food well preserved, salt was used for curing. And likewise, the world that we live in needs help to hold off the rot of sin. Salty Christians, permeated throughout our culture, can help to preserve our culture and impact it for good. You see, this principle is clearly seen in the Old Testament nation of Judah. The nation of Judah lasted longer than the nation of Israel, simply for the fact that the nation of Judah had some leaders that were righteous. The nation of Israel did not have a single good king after the kingdom divided. See, those righteous leaders, that preserved the nation of Judah for a little while longer. But you see, the dangerous tendency is for Christians to lose their saltiness. Of course, true salt never ceases to be salt, but it can become contaminated. And when it does that, it's worthless, even leaving a terrible taste in our mouth. Jesus said that such salt is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men, in Matthew 5, verse 13. You see, simply put, we cannot influence the world if we are worldly. That's why Jesus spent the first part of his Sermon on the Mount teaching us what to be on the inside so that we could have an effect on those who are outside. And furthermore, Jesus taught that we must be like a city set on a hill. Have you ever traveled for miles at night in a barren part of the country, and finally you see the sky illuminated in the distance by a city? See, that's a welcoming sight. Finally, there is a place to escape the darkness. Well, you see, in our homes, light is no good under a bushel, but on a lampstand. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 15, it gives light to all who are in the house. You know, in my house, the light that I value most is that little thing that we call the nightlight. How many toes has it saved from being stubbed? It doesn't glare. It just softly shines to show me the path that I need to walk. And this is what we must be to the world. We don't glare the light in a person's eyes. That's annoying. We just let it gently shine for all to see. There's a difference in shining your light and letting your light shine. You know, I don't know that soldier's answer to the little boy who said, "Mister, are you God?" But if we ever do a good deed and someone is moved to ask such a question, maybe the best answer is, "No, son, I'm not, but I am one of his children." And let us be salt and light to the world that God may be glorified and desired. Let's shake and shine. Let's go back and read, beginning with Matthew 5, verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel or a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The doing of good works is our purpose here on this earth. The doing of good works is what God has created us for. In Ephesians 2, in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Not only will doing good works so let our light shine that others may see and glorify our Father, but we will be judged according to our works. Jesus made this statement in Matthew 16, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." So we're going to be judged according to our works. And we need to be, as 1 Corinthians 15, verses 58 says, we need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're to be fruitful in every good work, as Colossians 1 and verse 10 teaches. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 says that we'll be prepared unto every good work. And Titus 3 and verse 1 says, "Be ready to every good work." And that's why James tells us in James 1 and verse 25, not only just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the work. So it is then that works has a role in our lives. It's not, as many people say, that works has nothing to do with saving you. Works has everything to do, but it's the kind of works that's what is important. We must concern ourselves with the asking of that question, as they did in John chapter 6 and verse 28. What might we do that we might work the works of God? That's what we need to be concerned with. That's the only light that we need to let so shine. Because if we're doing works of our own origin, then our light is not bringing glory unto God. It's only bringing glory to ourselves. When we work the works of God, we are so letting our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We have a book that tells us what good works are. 2 Timothy 3, verse 17, "We are completely furnished unto all good works, and that is by the Scriptures," as verse 16 teaches. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto all good works." So we don't have to concern ourselves with trying to determine what good works are. They're given to us in the Scriptures. Therefore, let us study God's Word. Put into practice, as James says, not just only to hear God's Word, but to be doers. And put into our lives the works that God would have us to do, so that we can so let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Our time is up. We thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. It's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.